T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We continue. Talk about this U.S. News & World Report study, survey, whatever you want to call it, opinion piece that ranks Louisiana dead last. And I can't believe that that's the fact. And we were talking about living here, and do you choose to live here, or do you just live here because everybody else did in your family?
Yeah, do you go around telling people, I live in the worst state in the nation, yeah, and I'm proud of it?
I missed Louisiana while I lived in Las Vegas for a couple of months, and about a year working. But I would like, at one point, to live in a place that is hilly and cool and fallish year-round.
Yes, I like that.
Just once I'd like to try that. So anyway, Louisiana, 3 for 3 being recognized as the worst state based on health care, education, infrastructure, crime, and other quality of life measures. That according to U.S. News and World Report. We've looked at education. We've looked at the economics of this. Josh Stockley, our friend, associate professor of political science at ULM, joins us now to talk about, I guess, the governmental aspect part and reputation part of all of this. Good morning, Josh.
Good morning. How are you guys?
I'm well. And you?
Oh, I'm doing great. Another day in paradise.
I hear you. Are you a Louisiana native or not?
I was chuckling when you explained, do you tell people that you're from Louisiana? And I say, I live in Louisiana, but I'm actually from Oklahoma. Now, some people might chuckle.
Wow.
Because there is, you know, is Oklahoma an upgrade over Louisiana? I guess that's for the listener to determine. But no, I'm not from Louisiana. And I do have a historical tendency to distinguish that I am not native of this state.
So is that because you're proud of Oklahoma, or you feel some loyalty to them? Is it about you just want to be perfectly accurate, or is it about you kind of don't like telling people you're from Louisiana or live in Louisiana?
I think, as Facebook would say, in a status, it's complicated. I mean, I do have a loyalty to Oklahoma, but I do sincerely have a loyalty to Louisiana. I've lived here for 15 years now, but I kind of distinguish that because I think people do have a stereotype, a stigma of people from Louisiana. And I don't know if that announcement clarifies, because now I've introduced hyperstigma of being an Okie, but you know, I think that is because there is a perception. And then you see U.S. News ranking us dead last, and I suspect for people not from Louisiana, something like that would reinforce certain stereotypes or perceptions.
I can remember exactly where I was after Katrina, and people are going to hear Mitch Landrieu and freak out here. But when he was lieutenant governor, he was testifying before Congress. I was in the garage getting a chainsaw ready to do something. And I was listening to WWL, and Mitch Landrieu was testifying before Congress in terms of emergency aid, I guess, from FEMA to help New Orleans out of the jam that we were in after Katrina. And he went through a litany of other states that have had trouble with public corruption and stealing federal money and so forth. And I remember that like it was yesterday, Josh, because it opened my eyes. And, you know, sometimes when it comes to Edwin Edwards, and I hesitate to say this because he's called in already, but I think, generally speaking, people would laugh and say, yeah, he's a crook, but he's our crook, right? So
right.
I think sometimes we might do ourselves in where we talk about the politics being, you know, a sport here, or politics being so corrupt, when in fact, going back to what then Lieutenant Governor Landrieu told Congress, it ain't just us.
No, I mean, to be fair, I think the state of Illinois has more former or current governors in jail than any other state in the nation. And the city of Chicago certainly has a litany of mayors that have, you know, run afoul of the law. So I think Louisiana is likely, if we were to create an objective metric, isn't probably the most corrupt state. But, you know, we'll forever live probably under the shadows of Huey Long and Edwin Edwards.
And that's the point, Josh. Perception is reality, right? So if that's the way...
A lot of times.
So if that's the way we're perceived, how do we ever get out from under that?
Well, obviously, it's not a short solution. And I do think on some level, U.S. News is working on this perception. I mean, you can cite stats and list stats, and certainly there are some statistics that are not favorable to this state. But I think it's just going to take, you know, a slow coming out of certain things. If Louisiana wants to avoid some of the stereotypes, there are certainly a couple of things it can do immediately that we have underinvested in the last few years. The first is simply our dedication to education spending. I mean, we simply are a state that has not substantially kept up in the realm of either K through 12 or post high school education investments. We have a lot of work to do there. The second thing that has to happen is we've got to do something about our incarceration rate. Now, the governor and the legislature last year passed criminal justice reform, and it'll take a few years for the data to reflect whether that has led to any significant improvements. But until we do something about incarceration and until we do something about education, we will continue to have an unhealthy population that is substantially undereducated and poor. And that's what's driving the rankings. We are undereducated and we are poor. Now, if you will notice, there are two positives that I think will help the state out over time. One, health care. We have moved substantially, I would argue, on health care because of Medicaid expansion.
Professor, again, I hate to interrupt you, but we got to take a break, and I think that's a good point to pause, because when we come back, we're going to talk about health care, and I also want to dig a little deeper into the incarceration rate. Why is it so high in Louisiana as opposed to other states? Josh Stockley, our guest, our friend, associate professor of political science at ULM, and we're talking about this U.S. News and World Report study that says for the 3 years they've been doing this, Louisiana ranks 50th of all states in terms of quality of life. 916, back in a flash, WWL. I'm anxious to get back to our conversation about quality of life in Louisiana. Highs today of 86. They're saying comfortable, then tomorrow warm, then it goes to very warm on Friday. And it seems like they're hesitant to use the word hot. And maybe that's for the Chamber of Commerce type stuff. I don't know. Maybe it relates to quality of life because Josh Stockley, associate professor of political science at ULM, before we get to high incarceration rates and the other things we were talking about, I would like to ask you about climate. Does that play a part in this at all? Because I think, you know, and I don't know if you heard me mention to David Blake, just once I'd like to live somewhere where it was hilly and fall year-round. It can be miserably hot here, but that's true in a lot of parts of the United States, right? I mean, we tend to think that it's just here, but it's hot all over.
I mean, the climate has not stopped Atlanta and Houston from becoming some of the fastest growing cities in the United States. So I don't think we can necessarily point towards humidity or no one would be living in the South. But I do think the environment is important. I mean, let's just be honest. We have a strip in Louisiana known as Cancer Alley. And the reason we have this strip is because we have generally allowed a lot of companies to operate unregulated. And that has come with significant health side effects. So I think something else we have to do literally is clean up this state a little bit if we want to entice more people to live here.
Talking about incarceration rate, before we get to health care, why is the incarceration rate in Louisiana so high? And in terms of ranking, Josh, are we like the most the state with the most incarcerated people or highest incarceration rate in the country?
We have both one of the highest male incarceration rates, and people often forget we had for several years the fastest growing female incarceration rate in the nation. And incarceration is almost directly tied to two indicators that we've already mentioned, poverty and education. The significant factor to explain people who are in jail is the lack of a high school degree more than anything else. So if this state, again, can make substantial K-12 investments and assist with everyone completing high school will make a significant dent in the incarceration rate. However, another factor that explains this is we do have a tendency in Louisiana of over-criminalizing offenses. So we have falsely created an incarceration rate because we feel that so many things should land people in jail as opposed to other types of disciplinary action.
So some things, Josh, that here in Louisiana we would want somebody incarcerated for where in other states they would not.
Absolutely. We have a tendency to punish more severely for certain offenses than other states. And it's not that our offenses are any more common than other states. It's we've decided to punish these offenders differently. And I'll give you an example of a trend that's moving in that direction. The treatment of marijuana offenses. Marijuana offenses can land you in jail. However, in states that have legalized or have dealt with marijuana, they have made a substantial difference on incarceration rates simply on this factor of marijuana. So there are realms that we could improve or revisit that will make a difference on our incarceration rates.
And in that case, in a way, incarceration rates kind of shares a Venn diagram with health care, because at some point, you know, we're talking about medical marijuana, you can inhale, you can't inhale, some states it's legal. At some point, the federal government is going to have to get involved here, right? Either enforcing laws that are on the books or changing the law. And is that all about politics and not necessarily science at this point?
It's a lot of politics, but there's a danger in the federal government getting involved, because right now marijuana is still a prohibited federal substance. If anybody asks the court to intervene, federalism and the Supremacy Clause will strike down marijuana statutes in all of the states. Two things have to happen. One, we really need the federal government to take marijuana perhaps off of the banned substances list or change its classification. And the second thing is you've got to have people at the state level. Louisiana legislators, for example, have to be more active in moving along, at the very minimum, our medical marijuana industry, which has been tied up with litigation and difficulties.
Let me get to, before we run out of time here, get to health care. Does it all go back to education, Josh, not just in terms of medical professionals, but in terms of people taking care of themselves so we don't have such a health care problem, both from the, I guess, demand side and the supply side?
Absolutely. It boils down to poverty. People who don't have money simply don't have the means to take better care of themselves when minor things occur. And when minor things are left untreated, a toothache, for example, then that can lead to a major thing down the road. Poverty is also lifestyle. We have an obese state. We have a higher than average obesity rate. And obesity is leading to diabetes, among other long-term consequences. So Medicaid expansion should help significantly in helping the poorer individuals in our state deal with these minor things so that they don't become major things. But poverty, I mean, so much of these rankings, and if you compare us to the other states that are at the bottom, you will see the common factor across the board is an above average poverty rate.
You know, I saw a guy from Alexandria, I don't remember his name, trying to repeal this 0.45 tax they put on to fix the budget problems. And he says, no, we've had a surplus. We're collecting too much. At what point does education, again, going back to that, and political pandering and the fact that any taxes are bad, and then we complain about the roads, but nobody wants to pay anymore. How does all of that interface?
Justice Oliver Wendell Holmes said, taxes are the price we pay for civilization. If we want better roads, we have to pay for it. There's no way at all to get better things without paying for it. And until this state decides to make a substantial investment, we can't expect things like the roads or hospitals or schools to get better. Taxes is a way to do it. You want to solve obesity and make money at the same time? Tax beverages. Tax people who choose to make poor soda drinking decisions, and then we can collect some revenue and we can pay off some things.
So does this all go back to the Longs? And I'm not trying to single out one family, but yeah, don't tax me. Don't tax you. Don't tax me. Tax the guy behind a tree. I don't know if that started with Huey Long or not. But is the message here different in Louisiana, or the message different here in that all taxes are bad? And maybe as a result of education, people in other states say, well, no, you know, you gotta fix the streets, you gotta do the infrastructure, et cetera.
The message is different, and we do have a historical tendency to distrust the government, and part of that distrust is that taxes are bad. Look at the states that are at the top of this list with all of the positive indicators, and you will find that in many realms, their residents are paying much more in taxes. But they are not complaining like our residents, because why? They see firsthand what that increased revenue has done to the quality of living in their state. We don't have that. So on the one hand, if Louisiana residents or people who live here are dissatisfied by the state of the state, then they have themselves to blame, as well as the people that they have largely been voting to send to the legislature. We do need to take a different attitude on taxes. There are things that taxes can do to improve this state. And
Josh,
there's plenty of evidence to suggest it.
We got to run. I'm going to tell you, I enjoy talking to you every time. I hope you come back. I know you will. Josh Stockley, Associate Professor of Political Science at ULM.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.